submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Glad you could join me. I would like for you to open your Bible, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I began reading in your hearing with verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Now keep in mind, he is writing to Christians, and he says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." There are some things in the Scripture that are very difficult to deal with. That is, in the natural way of thinking and doing, there are some things that people just find naturally distasteful, and submission is one of them. If you remember what Paul said in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, he talked about the characteristics of an individual that's been filled with the Holy Spirit. Starting with verse 18, he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he goes on and he talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, characteristic number one. Number two, giving thanks to the Lord in all things, a spirit of thanksgiving being the second characteristic. And the third was submission, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission is that third and probably one of the most difficult to find evidences of an individual who has been filled with the Spirit of God. Submission doesn't come easy. As a matter of fact, in that passage, you'll find that he begins with probably what is the most difficult of all forms of submission. And he starts, I believe it's long about verse 22 or so. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands." And he goes on. But he also then talks about submitting the husbands submitting themselves to God. It talks about children being in submission to parents. It talks about servants being in submission to their masters. Well, we can bring in all those relationships into a modern setting. The relationship between husband and wife, the man and the Lord, parents and children, employees to employers, it carries over very well. But the whole idea of submission is repulsive, is repugnant to the old nature. Now, in our society where I don't know whether, well, I think it's probably this way in the border states, anywhere on either side and south of the Mason-Dixon line, you'll find that the Civil War mentality is not very far beneath the surface. There's kind of a veneer, veneer that has been applied, but you let the stars and bars get unfurled, and you'll hear a few rebel yells and the strains of Dixie. There's this rebel attitude, and it's not just in the South. You'll find this attitude, "You can't tell me what to do," is part and parcel of the American psyche. It is, I am not praising it. I am not saying, "Oh, this is terrible." I'm simply saying it's there. An almost automatic gut reaction to anything of authority. The immediate response is, "Not me, man. No, don't get in my face with that." Now, he says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the..." No, wait. For the Lord's sake. Not because you necessarily agree, "Oh, this ordinance, this law is good." There's some laws on the books of this country that, quite frankly, don't belong there. And they were placed there by people who, well, if we give them the benefit of the doubt, thought they were passing laws for the good of the many. At the same time, you'll find that there are people who sponsor bills because they want to feel like they're in control, or they want to put the squeeze, pressure on some other group. And so it goes. There are some laws that are, frankly, just stupid. You look at the laws and the ordinances that have been passed in localities. You have some places saying, oh, well, like, for instance, in the state of Ohio, there is a provision for an individual, a gun owner, to take the schooling and file all the paperwork and get all the character references and the investigation into the individual's background, go through all of that for the permission, license to carry a concealed weapon. Then you turn right around, and even though it's legal in the state of Ohio to carry a weapon, if he's got all the paperwork, he's taken all the training, turn right around and in local administrations, in towns, in cities, or in some cases in businesses, they'll put a sign up and says, guns are banned on the premises here. Well, okay, I suppose that's the right, but what's the point of having a permit if you got people saying, you can't do it here? There are some laws that are just silly. It's like if you own a piece of property and you want to rent it, you should be able to rent it who you want to. But because of the laws that have been passed, somebody shows up and says, we want to rent your place. What are you going to do here? Well, we're going to have wild parties and we're going to carry on and just have all sort of promiscuity going on. We're going to just sell drugs. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. And if you say, no, I won't do it, doggone if they don't get some smooth-talking lawyer to bring you up on charges of discrimination of some sort or other. Now, when you look at that on the one hand, and then you turn around and you look at this, you say, oh, man, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Notice the next four words, for the Lord's sake. You do it for the Lord's sake. You do it to obey him, not because it's a sensible law, not because, and in some cases, there are laws that are illegal in the context of the Constitution, etc. For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, a national leader, let's face it, we have had leaders in our nation's history who were very effective presidents. We have had leaders, we've had presidents who were very ineffective, weak and spineless sorts of individuals. We've had some presidents that have been debauched, womanizers, men who are, as individuals, unworthy of any show of respect at all as an individual. And yet because of the office that they hold, respect must be shown them. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. God instituted and ordained human government, and the Bible is, if you will, a manual for how that government ought to operate, what principles, what moral restrictions ought to be observed in the lives of these individuals. It doesn't necessarily say, all right, you're supposed to have a democracy or a republic, or it doesn't specify that. But it does give you some idea of what sort of character and behavior you should be able to expect. Now, he says, you submit yourselves to the ordinances, to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake. If I may, the only exception would be when those laws are contrary to the written word of God. Now, there's some people that will jump up and down and scream and holler and carry on and say, well, now this law is contrary to the Bible. And you can't find chapter and verse on that at all. For instance, churches have been so foolish in the past, and for that matter, they still are. There's such an emphasis on numbers today. The public is welcome to attend. Well, I don't have a problem with unsaved people going to church, hear the Word of God, and get saved. But if the invitation goes out from the standpoint of we're trying to reach the unchurched, we're trying to church the unchurched, we got a problem. Church services and membership in a congregation is reserved for those who know Christ, who are in common agreement with a certain doctrinal statement, bylaws, constitution. There is no room biblically within a church congregation for individuals who are strangers to God's grace. Now, we've shifted that to the point now where in the megachurch movement, this purpose-driven environment, and I use that in quotes because it's a philosophy and a teaching that has come primarily from the books Purpose-Driven Life and Purpose-Driven Church, if I'm not mistaken, by a fellow named Rick Warren. Not biblical at all. Sound good, but you can't justify it from the Scripture. But what you have is something that is producing, quote-unquote, a public church. Now, when that happens, the state steps in and says, hey, there are certain requirements here. You're going to have to meet as a public meeting place. Oh, wait a minute. A public meeting place? Oh, they talk about separation of church and state, but I don't see it as much as a two-way thing as I do a one-way avenue toward controlling churches, while at the same time trying to keep churches from interfering, and I put that in quotes, with the political agenda of the politicians. Yeah, boy, there are some things that is not right. It's not right. You will notice, please, it says in verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. God's people ought never to give valid ammunition, a valid reason for the world to come down on them. I mean, because of this emphasis, for instance, on the public nature. Come on in. The public is welcome. The state says we have a right to see to it that there are certain standards in the building. And I find it somewhat offensive that the same building code for a dance hall governs at the same time the building code for a church, a theater, all in the same group. What's wrong with that? I tell you what's wrong with it. God's people have dropped the ball. But in order to keep people from having a reason to come down on the church, he says, you do what they say. You do what they say. Well, I don't think it's right for the state to tell the church what they can and can't do. Well, I don't either. But at the same time, it's on the books. And you want to know the truth. There's nothing in the Bible that forbids it. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Notice, please, 17, the imperatives here. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. That is, that body of believers. We're not talking about a guild or a union or some sort of a cult group, but we're talking about Christians. Fear God, that is, give him the respect that he deserves. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Now, as I look at the clock, I see I'm out of time. I hope you'll join me as we continue our study the next time here on The Bible Says. See you then.